Hey there. The show hasn't started yet. I mean, clearly it started a little bit. I'm already talking to you. But before the music and the lights and at least theoretically the laughter, I wanted to briefly talk to you about what has clearly been a terrible week. The immense suffering in Israel and Gaza has been sickening to watch. And we're not going to be covering it in the main body of our show tonight for a couple of reasons. First, it's horrific. I don't really want to tell jokes about carnage right now, and I'm pretty sure that you don't want to hear them. Given how fast things are moving, a lot could change between the time I'm saying this and the time that you hear it. But I do have a few broad thoughts that I think will still apply, and they have to do with sorrow, fear, and anger. Now, sorrow is the first and most overwhelming feeling. The images that we've seen this week from last Saturday onwards have been totally heartbreaking. Thousands are now dead in Israel and Gaza. It has been devastating, not just to those in the region, but to diaspora communities across the world. It should be impossible to see grieving families and not be moved. So there's been sorrow this week, a lot of it. And also fear. Understandable fear of further attacks in Israel and for those taken hostage, and fear of what is to come in Gaza, as Israel's leaders seem intent on embarking on a relentless bombing campaign, mass displacement, and a potential ground invasion. All signs seem to be pointing toward a humanitarian catastrophe. Israeli officials announced plans to cut off food, water, fuel, and power. Hospitals are running on generators. This has all the appearances of collective punishment, which is a war crime. And I think many Israelis and Palestinians are feeling justifiable anger right now, not just at Hamas, whose utterly heinous terrorist acts set this week's events in motion, but also at the zealots and extremists across the board who've consistently thwarted attempts at peace over the years. Israelis and Palestinians have been let down by their leadership time and time again. And I don't have a great deal of faith in the leaders currently in charge to steer us toward peace. But I do still have some hope. Because the easiest thing to do in the world after a week like this is to engage in bloodthirsty rhetoric. And there has certainly been plenty of that from those in power. But I will say, I've been struck by the many ordinary citizens, both Israeli and Palestinian, who've called for restraint this week and not revenge. Just listen to how Noy Katzman, whose brother Haim was murdered by Hamas last Saturday, chose to end this interview.
So what I wanted to say is, the most important for me, and I think also for my brother, was that his death won't be used to kill innocent people. And I don't want anything to happen to people in Gaza like it happens to my brother. And I'm sure he wouldn't have any either. So that's my call to my government. Stop killing innocent people. And that's not the way that brings us peace and security to people in Israel.
Right. People want and are entitled to peace. In the long term, all the people who want to live in that region are going to keep living there. So peace is not optional and will require some tough decisions. And I can't say where a peace process ends, but it just has to start with that kind of ability to recognize our common humanity. That's honestly all I've got for you right now, but we do still have our regular comedy show. And if you're interested, I'll see you on the other side of our opening titles when there will be lights, there'll be music, and again, purely theoretically, no pressure on this audience. At least some sporadic laughter.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the Radio Network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
There's good news.
These are dangerous times.
Something terrible is going to happen.
Just last week, I went to the shores of beautiful Lake Winnipesaukee and hit up my first Trump rally in a while. The ex-president has been busy campaigning and juggling certain legal commitments. I was excited to see the sights and sounds and the long lines of politically engaged citizens.
Whatever Trump does is smart.
That's just sort of your boilerplate. You don't have to think through it, you've just given him that credibility.
And it didn't take long to spot the new piece of must-have MAGA merch, the mugshot.
Never surrender to the tyranny.
What is Trump doing here on this shirt?
This is his mugshot.
Gotcha. So that was taken when he surrendered to authorities to have his picture taken.
Huh? It says never surrender, but...
Is that on the back? Is the butt? Let me see the back. Let me see the back.
I think it's just Trump.
It's just Trump. So where's the butt part? Is that, that's implied. Nick, take me through your fit.
Well, I bought the socks in town.
These socks have Trump hair on it?
Yes, sir.
How much did you pay for this sweatshirt?
$40.
Yeah. How much you pay for the hat?
$25. I think I get a hat at least once a month.
How many Trump hats do you have?
Probably 40 or so.
How do you feel America's doing under Biden? Economically?
Not good. I think, you know, inflation and the gas price, everything's gone up. Milk and eggs are just through the roof. Like buying regular food is, you know. So you got to work 4 jobs to pay your rent. And
yeah. How much money have you spent on Trump swag?
A couple $1,000.
Wow, that's a lot. But people are having a hard time paying for the necessities.
Right.
As the Donald rolled in, I wondered what fresh ideas I had missed on the campaign trail.
He's been out in Iowa talking about, when I was there, he was talking about how he changed the name from Crooked Hillary to Crooked Joe Biden.
Oh, so he's focusing on the issues.
Yeah.
Great.
Sadly, the Donald's campaign appearances aren't the only thing on his schedule.
How many indictments are we up to now?
Georgia.
Okay, great. That's the...
New York City. That's the most, the bankruptcy. And
New York is the bankruptcy one. Great. It's hard to keep them straight. You know,
right.
There's a lot of them.
There's way too many.
I think they're just trying to throw them in jail.
They are.
To witch hunt. Like what he said in New York.
Is that pre or post the first indictment?
I think that was right when the lady charges.
Wait, lady charges. Is that Stormy Daniels' lady charge or sexual assault?
Sexual assault.
It was sexual assault charges. Yeah. She was found guilty of, right?
I think so.
Are you 100% sure you're voting for Donald Trump in the next election?
Yeah.
No matter what happens with these trials, this election still comes down to their guy versus the other guy.
I mean, Trump has done more than Biden will ever do. And that's the other side of it. He should be in jail, him and his kid, for treason. I mean, they've taken money from other countries who we're not really in favor of.
It's insane. The fact that, like, you can have a member of your family get billions of dollars from Saudi Arabia is nuts.
Yeah.
Right?
They did nothing but a big cover-up.
So you think Trump should be punished for all of that money that Ivanka and Jared got?
No.
Nope. Wait, who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Biden with his kid.
Oh, not the Jared and Ivanka money from Saudi Arabia.
No.
Does that bother you?
No.
Right.
And when it comes to which candidate makes a better commander-in-chief, there's a clear winner.
Trump loves the veterans.
Trump all the way. He's got my vote forever.
Trump has called for the execution of General Milley. Does that rub you the wrong way as a veteran?
Well, I don't like Milley because he did the Afghanistan thing. Like, all these generals are supposed to know what they're doing, and it was a complete disaster.
Yeah. So you don't trust the generals?
No, I don't.
What are you most excited to see inside?
I just want to see him speak, see what he has to say about Israel. I know Joe Biden was doing a barbecue with his people.
We sent a fleet of naval ships to Israel.
Yes.
So you're against that?
I am for that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's
good. So you give Biden credit for that?
That's more the generals making the calls there.
Do we trust those generals?
I don't even know who's in anymore, so I don't care.
Ultimately, I wondered, would these MAGA faithful ever care about any of these criminal charges? Probably not. Exhibit A, just ask what their favorite rally was.
I think January 6th is probably my favorite one.
You were there?
Oh, yeah.
That's your number one. What made it your favorite one? What stood out from January 6th?
Well, aside from all the violence that was planned by the FBI and such.
Do you think, were they Proud Boys and Oath Keepers?
No, they were Antifa, Black Lives Matter, ISIS, and MS-13.
Some of January 6th is perpetrated by ISIS? I mean, this is new.
MS-13, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, ISIS.
And
yes.
Can you say MAGA?
Hey, anyone could put a MAGA hat on.
I mean, come on, guys. I hope you don't see any Antifa, because there's a lot of Trump hats, and I guess that means Antifa's here. So, good luck. Or what was your first rally?
January 6, 2020, in D.C.
If you're going to go to one.
Go to one.
Did you make it inside?
I can't say that for legal reasons.
So you may or may not have been involved in a treasonous activity.
Yeah, well, can't get into that one.
Sure. Well, have fun. Hopefully, right. Try not to overthrow any duly elected officials.
No, we'll be good today.
Donald Trump addressed the horrific terrorist attack on Israel by attacking Israel. Captain Bonespurs gave a doozy of a speech where, among other things, he said Hamas would never have gone into Israel if his election hadn't been rigged. He called Israel's defense minister a jerk. He did some axe grinding about Netanyahu and had some complimentary words about Israel's enemies in Lebanon. He's really angling for that Nobel Peace of prize. And with all they have to worry about over there, Israel's communications minister had to put out a response saying we don't have to bother with him and the nonsense he spouts. Unfortunately, we do have to bother with it. But here's what Trump had to say about Hezbollah.
They said, gee, I hope Hezbollah doesn't attack from the north because that's the most vulnerable spot. I said, wait a minute. You know, Hezbollah is very smart. They're all very smart. The press doesn't like when they say it. You know, I said that President Xi of China, 1.4 billion people, he controls it with an iron fist. I said, he's a very smart man. They killed me the next day. I said he was smart. What am I going to say? But Hezbollah, they're very smart.
Poor Eric. Trump never said he was smart. And, but he did say it about this guy.
Kanye is a smart guy.
That's right. And where is he throughout all of this? Mar-a-Lardo was all over the place last night. He's throwing everything he possibly can against the wall.
And I'm sure that the cocaine that they found in the White House that nobody, I feel certain it had nothing to do with Hunter and Joe, by the way. Here, Dad, have a little of this stuff. It's going to liven you up a little bit.
Okay. Now Sleepy Joe is also a cokehead. I'm pretty sure the hardest drug Joe Biden does is Rocky Road, but Trump gave some speech last night. At one point, he spent a full minute berating his microphone.
This is the worst microphone I think I've ever had. I hope you can hear me back there. Justin, don't pay the bill for this mic. I'm blowing out my voice talking to this stupid mic. This is the worst mic I've ever had. I'm trying to get their attention. Turn up the mic. Is it okay? And then I don't pay a bill, and they say, Trump doesn't pay his contractors. You know? It's unbelievable. It's a rotten, lousy mic.
It's the same thing he said about Mike Pence. And it's always fun to see him come up with new reasons not to pay people. And I have to say, for a guy who says he doesn't drink, all you have to do is slow him down a little, and you get a full-blown drunk Donald Trump.
Did you see the other day? Thank you. Thank you. It's a little groggy. It's a little bit groggy. They say, get him off the stage. That s*** wearing off, man. Get him off.
That man, the Speaker of the House, will you? Donald Trump will not be the next Speaker of the House, or maybe he will. We have no idea.
House Republicans still don't have a Speaker after 2 weeks of humiliating infighting chaos. So let's check in on their party's leader, the faraway frontrunner for the 2024 GOP nomination, Donald Trump. I mean, there's no way things could be going worse for him than they are for House Republicans, right?
Breaking news here in Washington. District Court Judge Tanya Chutkan has issued a narrow gag order on former President Trump and the other co-defendants in his D.C. election case, prohibiting all parties from targeting special counsel Jack Smith, federal prosecutors, or court staff.
Judge Tanya Chutkan said from the bench that Mr. Trump is now prohibited from reposting any statements publicly targeting the special counsel, his staff, the judge's staff, or court personnel, and also witnesses to the extent that it involves their role in the case.
That's right. Trump is prohibited from posting statements about the special counsel, his staff, the judge's staff, witnesses, and here's where it gets worse for him. Windmills, windmills killing birds, windmills killing whales, windmills killing birds that come back to life and kill whales, toilets, toilets that don't flush, toilets that do flush, and toilets that flush louder than windmills killing killer whales that come back to life to kill birds. By the way, this is now Trump's second gag order after he was already slapped with one for a civil fraud trial in Manhattan. Now, I don't need to tell you, we live in turbulent times, and in times like these, you need leadership. Democrats have Joe Biden in the White House, Chuck Schumer in the Senate, and Hakeem Jeffries in the House. Say what you will about them, and there is plenty to criticize, but at least their status as leaders is stable. Now let's compare that to the GOP leadership, likely 2024 nominee Donald Trump, whose current top four suggested Uber destinations are courthouses. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who can often be found buffering, and the Speaker of the House, which is currently held by Interim Speaker Patrick McHenry. The Republican Speaker fight has been a roller coaster, and not a good one. I'm not talking King Ka, where you're laughing with your buddies, screaming, oh my God, I'm gonna puke. I'm talking about one of those real old ones. The kinds they have at county fairs where the seatbelt looks like it came from an 84 Ford Escort, and you get strapped in by a dead-eyed 17-year-old who reminds you both to keep your hands inside the vehicle and to make peace with whatever god you pray to. And as you make the first climb, you look into the footwell and you see three loose screws and a human ankle bone. You think, oh my God, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die listening to a Jason Aldean cover band. Here is a quick recap of what's happened over the last 2 years. I'm sorry, I meant the last 2 weeks.
It's now been a week and a half since eight representatives staged a coup against Kevin McCarthy. And ever since, the party's been struggling to pick a new speaker.
Kevin McCarthy practically daring hardline Republicans to come after him.
If somebody wants to make a motion against me, bring it.
To which Gates responded, just did.
He says he's coming for you. Can you survive?
Yes, I'll survive.
The Speaker of the House has been removed from his position.
All week long, Republicans met behind closed doors to try and pick a leader, although glimpses of chaos kept leaking into public view.
Some House Republicans have been in contact with and have started an effort to draft former President Donald Trump to be the next speaker.
A lot of people have been calling me about speaker.
On Capitol Hill right now, we have breaking news. House Republicans have nominated Steve Scalise moments ago as their new speaker.
I want to thank my House Republican colleagues for just designating me as the speaker.
Just hours after being nominated to become the next Speaker of the House, Congressman Steve Scalise says he's dropping out of the race.
I'm withdrawing my name as a candidate for the speaker designee.
Another round of votes have just been had, and now Jim Jordan is the new Republican nominee for speaker.
Right now, it looks like the party's newest nominee, Representative Jim Jordan, get this, does not have enough votes from his own GOP colleagues to win the speakership.
Lots of members were talking to the press, with one comparing discussions to a marriage counseling session and another likening the party's antics to the TV show House of Cards, which I guess is true in that it was kind of fun to watch at first, but now I'm just exhausted by it. There's actually another way in which this drama is like House of Cards, and it involves something one of its key protagonists, Matt Gaetz, has in common with Kevin Spacey. Sadly, my lawyers told me that I can't say what it is, but I can think it, and so can all of you. And to hear some frustrated House members tell it, the fundamental problem is that their party as a whole is now set up to reward bad behavior.
I would call House Republicans a cluster, but a cluster implies some sense of unity. They're more like a scatter. I've seen more organized groups of seagulls fighting over a potato chip. Whoa, well, fellas, let's just cast our ballots in an orderly fashion, and whoever wins the most votes get Dorito! I swear to God, if they didn't have the house to work at, I'm not sure half these guys could find a house to live in. You just see a pack of feral Republicans wandering through the woods arguing about which hole to in. Hey, that's my hole. I found it first. Usually a political party trying to gain power in a democracy wants to project competence, even if they have to lie. But Republicans are so mad at each other, they're just going on TV every damn day telling American people, we suck.
Funding the government is part of our fundamental duty, and we can't even do that. So, and now here we are at the 11th hour with a clock ticking, and we can't even seat a speaker. Man, that says volumes. At first, it was somewhat comical. Now it's bordering on the absurd.
This is not responsible. We need to elect a speaker.
This is petty. This is petty, and I'm getting freaking tired of it.
People are looking for a perfect system. They shouldn't be looking at the U.S. House right now.
How does that make you guys look?
Makes us look like a bunch of idiots.
Now, don't worry. You did already look like a bunch of idiots, literally. South Carolina Congresswoman Nancy Mace wore the A on her shirt for the Scarlet Letter, apparently not having read the book. Wyoming Congresswoman Harriet Hageman brought a lasso to a GOP meeting, hoping to finally catch one of them Duke boys. And George Santos wore a suit jacket over a fleece over a shirt and tie, a fashion crime more heinous than any of his actual crimes. Politicians spend millions every year taking out ads to convince people they should be in charge. Republicans are going on national TV every day for free, telling people, for the love of God, do not put us in charge. The infighting has gotten so bad, one Republican member of Congress just came out and said what many have long suspected about a large portion of the Republican Party. They don't actually want to govern.
It's a tough scenario, but there are people in there that are honorably trying to get to the right place, and then there are people in there, as you know, that like to go on the TV and are not necessarily negotiating for anything other than TV time.
These guys want to be in the minority. That's exactly. I think they would prefer that because they could just vote no and yell and scream all the time.
Yes, that's the whole party in a nutshell right there. They were Little League parents screaming at the umpire through the chain link fence, drunk on thermos wine at 8:30 a.m. on a Saturday. But now they're the umpire, and it's a lot harder to be the umpire. You have to crouch for 3 hours, keep track of balls and strikes. Republicans like yelling and screaming so much more than governing. They looked across the country at all 300 million Americans, picked the loudest screamer, and said, yeah, let's make that guy the leader of our party. A guy who screams so much, he's now under 2 gag orders and still won't shut the hell up. The guy who does all his press conferences right next to a 747 just to prove he can out-yell a jet engine. But that really is the truth right there. Republicans are not a serious governing party because they don't have a serious governing agenda. They don't even have serious options. With each failed attempt to pick a speaker, Republicans don't get together and say, we need to do better. They say, we need to do worse. And nothing exemplifies that more than the fact Republicans have moved on to Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, a MAGA extremist who tried to overturn the 2020 election and played a key role in the January 6th coup attempt.
Jim Jordan scored former President Trump's endorsement early this morning, which should come as no surprise. Here is Jordan in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, attending a Stop the Steal rally 2 days after Election Day. In the weeks and months after that, Jordan went on various right-wing media outlets where he attempted to sow distrust in the 2020 election and made baseless claims of election fraud. Jordan's name appears throughout the bipartisan report from the House Select Committee investigating January 6. The report says that Jordan attended numerous post-election meetings with senior White House officials and Rudy Giuliani discussing how to challenge the election results.
Even Mike Pence, who, as you may recall, and as he maybe doesn't, almost got killed by the mob on January 6, had decided to back Jim Jordan, despite the fact that Jordan was on the side of the mob and tried to sway Pence to overturn the election. A CNN anchor pointed that out in an interview with Pence, and his answer was predictably spineless.
Jim Jordan would be an outstanding Speaker of the House. The American people want to see the Republican conference come together, elect a speaker, and get back to work.
Well, it's interesting to me to hear you say that Jim Jordan would be a great speaker, given he was someone who sent a text to the chief of staff on January 5th that outlined for you to violate the Constitution and block the certification of the election. I mean, do you really believe that's someone who should be third in line to the presidency?
I have immense respect for Jim Jordan. He's a man of integrity, and I've known him for many years. I was not aware of his opinion going into January 6th.
So that doesn't bother
me. My interaction with Congressman Jordan in December was simply over the legitimate objections that members of Congress were permitted to file under the law.
Of all the people who fomented a violent mob intent on murdering me, there is none I consider a better man than Jim Jordan. Would be an honor to be murdered by Pence's problem is there are no other options. Here's a perfect example. Republican Congressman Dan Crenshaw made the case for Jim Jordan to CNN's Jake Tapper, who pointed out that unlike Crenshaw, Jordan pressured Pence to overturn the election. And Crenshaw basically said, if that disqualified him, there wouldn't be anyone else.
I'm supporting Jordan. I'm going to vote for Jordan.
I mean, he defied the congressional subpoena and he was trying to get Pence to overturn the electoral votes. But anyway, you're in the Jordan camp.
But a lot of them did that. If I held that grudge, I wouldn't have friends in
right,
the Republican conference.
That's two-thirds
a lot of them.
That's two-thirds
that,
of the conference. So. That's an excellent point.
I was on an island there.
Yeah, I hear you.
I love how they're both laughing off that deeply depressing fact, but it is a fact. There are very few Republicans who didn't try to overturn the 2020 election. At this point, being a Republican who thinks Biden won is like being a vegan zombie. Do you have anything other than brains? That is the core of the modern GOP. It's not a serious or competent party that can be trusted with the responsibility to govern. As far as anyone can tell, their only discernible position is that January 6th was good, and anyone involved in that, whether it's Jim Jordan or Donald Trump, should be in a position of leadership. Their pitch to the American people is, elect us because we're a...
bunch of idiots.
You know what? You're right. You do look like idiots. As the AP pointed out this week, internal conflicts and power struggles have become hallmarks of the modern GOP, right down to the state and local levels. In Ohio, Democrats had to cross party lines to end a standoff over who would become Speaker of the House. In Texas just this week, the Republican Attorney General suggested he'd request criminal charges against members of his own party, who incidentally led an impeachment trial against him last month. And in Michigan back in July, a state Republican Party meeting devolved into violence, with this county chair getting into a brawl with a party delegate.
Surveillance video from inside the hotel doesn't capture the initial encounter, but it does show the melee moving into the hallway as DeYoung falls hard on his back. He told police his dentures were damaged during the fracas.
I literally opened the door and he kicked me in my crotch. I didn't even have a second.
Yeah, he was kicked in the balls. And I know that's the eye-catching part of this story, but please don't sleep on his dentures were damaged during the fracas. This sort of chaotic Republican infighting is now a firmly entrenched pattern. Back in Washington, Jim Jordan was nominated to be Speaker on Friday, but most people think he's unlikely to get the necessary votes either, meaning we are left without a Speaker, a position absolutely vital to a functioning government. But I guess this is what happens when a party for years simply refuses to keep its extremist factions in check. The sad fact is, many current Republicans at every level don't seem to want to serve in government at all. They just want to dismantle it and stand atop the rubble for a TV hit. That is the key reason why any hopes of an orderly transition of power from one House Speaker to another have been much like this Michigan GOP county chair's testicles. Humiliatingly crushed.
Never surrender to the tyranny.
The Donald Trump show is over.
Turn on. Tune in. And drop out.
Preceding show was recorded at Waveform's WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.